Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. It's local election debate 6, Letterkenny part 2. 7 seats, 18 candidates. And as you will have heard today and on Friday, hotly contested. Okay, we're on the subject of housing, and I'll bring anyone in that wishes to come in. At this point, I think, Vincent, just before the break for the news there, Vincent Bradley, you indicated you wanted to speak.
Yes, Greg, thank you. We don't have a housing crisis. What we've got is a mass immigration crisis. And all the parties that sit in here, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin, are open borders. They can't get enough people in quick enough. Roderick O'Gorman sent a tweet out with 8 different languages inviting the world to come in here and we'll house you. We'll give you all the free stuff. This is affecting our hospitals as well. So, and especially with the defective block. So the people that thinks that the government are really, really interested in them needs to cop themselves on waking up, because all these boys are talking nonsense again 5 years later and they'll be talking the same nonsense
so
again.
So what do you suggest? What are you suggesting?
How do we solve our housing crisis?
No, well, I'm not asking you to do that.
We shut the borders down, first of all. We take control of the borders.
So you
That's going automatic. A common sense will tell you that.
Would you advocate then for a border between Northern Ireland and the Republic?
We close the borders. Dublin Airport, the most of them are flying in at Dublin Airport.
Most of them are, 80% of them are coming across
They're
the
not,
border.
That's only a distraction. They're flying in. When we were when this country was in lockdown, there were plane loads flying in. They're being pushed in all the time.
So
we don't have a housing crisis.
What would you do as it
Get the government
to,
out.
To secure the border.
Get the
though.
Government out.
I know, but to secure the border, you would have... Would you have patrols?
We need whatever has to be done.
Okay.
Because our country's been destroyed.
Right.
Okay. This is not an open door for the rest
I'll
of the world.
I'll bring you back in a second. You also indicated Councillor Jerry McMonagall.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. And look, we have a serious housing crisis. There's
we don't have. There's no borders.
Okay, Vincent, just allow others to speak.
Well, I'm running as a candidate.
No,
the people
you.
Are saying there's had no enough of the housing. They can't get houses.
I get you. And you've
young children can't get houses.
Okay, you made your point, but I want to give everyone an opportunity to be heard.
Thanks Greg. There's no arguing against that. We go round the doors, we see. I know from the phone calls that I get as a local councillor, the amount of people who are looking houses. And there's a number of problems with that. We didn't build houses for almost 12 years.
We built very few houses
this last 12 years. The government must take some responsibility for that. Mm-hmm. It is one of their acts. They have to do that. We are now in a trying to address the situation, but we've rising number of homelessness, both in families and with children in homeless accommodation. We have a defective concrete block issue, which has decimated
rank in terms of migration? Because it's going to come up time and time again. As someone who's been sitting on the council, how big a pressure on the housing stock and housing availability is migration in and around Letterkenny? Is it big? Is it little? Is it?
Well, what I see in recent migration is that a lot of hotels, B&Bs and tourist facilities have been used to house refugees coming in. There is, look,
these aren't
refugees. These are economic factors.
Look,
scammers coming into the
Vincent,
country. That's
excuse me, because you haven't offered one solution here. You're a very angry person, and I would just ask you, will you please let me finish, Greg?
It is very, Vincent, I'll let you back in, right? But no one spoke over you when you were speaking, and it's just it is a debate, of course.
We're supposed
but
to speak up. The people want representation. We're not all in the boys' club.
I will let you in, and you've made your point time and time again, but it's very important. Everybody's heard. It's a democracy. Go ahead. Finish your point, please.
Yeah, look, and what we're seeing now, right, and migration has to be welcomed. If we look down at Letterkenny University Hospital, if we look at the tech facilities, if we look at our university, if we look in our schools, we see teachers, we see doctors, we see nurses, and we see people who are leading an industry, and we need that there, and that's to be welcomed. And we are meeting that demand, yes, but there is a demand for housing. We haven't built enough. And there's not enough affordable. I go around and I see it all. I'm dealing with one of the biggest issues I deal with is housing. And because housing, there was no social and affordable housing built, the private rental market went through the roof. And people now are paying up to €1,400 per month that can't afford it. The HAP has driven them into the private rental market. HAP is not sufficient or adequate enough to meet the difference between their income. No, but let me finish this here, Greg, because it's important. So, like, we are getting into a where the council now and the council elected members have got the council to be meeting every month this last 6 or 7 months. They've put a focus on building houses. We have bought land, and we have now in the Letterkenny MD, over the next 5 years, we have a plan to build 500 new social housing.
Okay.
And that's to be very much welcome. Yeah. But just to say that we're not losing it. We're looking at it. We're doing a lot of good work around that there. But it was government investment or lack of investment. It's government not giving the monies to the local councils to build social okay. and affordable homes. And I would just make one more point and really...
really briefly, because you'll be able to come back in again.
Sean raised it there in relation to the defective concrete blocks in social housing estates. He's right. There is. And we have almost 1,000 identified. We are awaiting a scheme from the government for the remediation of social housing scheme. That hasn't been passed yet, despite Donegal County Council putting together a plan of 70 houses that needs remediated immediately. And until that's done, until the government gives us that remediation, we can't address the issues in social housing estates.
Anne McCloskey, you want to come back in there briefly?
I think it's desperately important. The legacy political parties here are deliberately mixing up the issues of migration and plantation. What we are seeing is people trafficking on a massive scale, and people are making billions from it.
To what end?
Exactly what I've said. Well, again, going back, there is a plan afoot that the nations of Europe lose their sovereignty, lose their independence, lose their idea of nationhood. Ireland is not a piece of rock in the middle of the ocean. This country has a history, a culture, a heritage which is precious to us. This does not work for the migrants either. These people are being used. Their own countries are being impoverished by their absence. The plan behind this is the globalists who foster wars and asset strip in the poorest countries of the world, make those countries uninhabitable, and then come here. Ireland is the only country in Europe that has no colonial legacy.
I get you.
We were colonised. We didn't go and plunder and rape anybody else's country, and yet we're being asked, because of our kindness, because of our Christian heritage, we're being asked to take these people. And around the doors, people see those issues, including the people who have come to this country intending to make it their home, intending, as Councillor McMonagle has said, to work here, to contribute to our society, to become part of our culture and to become part of our nation. They are welcome. But the people who come here to try and supplant us, and there is, again, another conspiracy theorist, and I advise people to go and look at it. It's called the Great Replacement. And every party around this table is complicit in that replacement
Thank you,
of our nation.
Kevin Bradley.
Thank you, Greg. Just back again, just the housing's the major problem whenever we're going around the doors. Micah, by no fault of people's own, going around in the crumbling walls. It's a disgrace that it got going so long. And, you know, we have to take our hat off to the likes of Paddy Diver to go out that day. Only for that day, the council was still using the defective blocks up to that, and people were still using it. But I had a motion on the last time there. They're perfectly, what's called the new wing down at St. Connell's there. That's sitting closed up, eh? And that could, there's a brave block of apartments down there could be used up, you know. And the amount of their eviction in houses is closed. It's terrible in the town, but everybody's trying to address it. There are not enough new houses coming on. And the likes of the Celtic Tiger caused a lot of problem then. There were a lot more builders going here back in that days. And the builders, a lot of men went bust and never got up and going again instead of getting helped. Turned around and helped the banks. So there are different developments. It's just, but at the moment, the council has acquired 2 sites there. There are 14 acres at Ballymacool. There's another 9 acres up there beside the fire station. You know, they could give us the guts of 350 houses coming through. It's under development. Mm. There's about 60 houses over at Wundy Hall and Kelly Clug and one Long Lane area. And so we're going to welcome all these developments. So we're just living on hope, Greg.
Okay. You're part of a legacy party, inverted commas, Jimmy Kavanagh. Jerry McMonagle said, you know, years of underinvestment by Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, etc. Do you accept that claim?
No, listen, I agree with Councillor McMonagle that housing is the single biggest issue that we have. And as councillors, when the phone rings, the chances are it'll be a housing issue. But we have to remember here, and Greg, you're going to have to bear with me here in this without interrupting me, but there was 11 years that we had nothing built after the financial crisis. There wasn't a house built. There wasn't a solvent developer left in the country. There wasn't a tradesman left in the country. There was nothing being built. When we came into power, the Troika were running the country. We had actually lost our sovereignty at that stage. We've righted that. We've rebuilt the economy. We have practically full employment now. And on housing, by April this year, we have 30,000 houses built, which is the most on record in a four-month period. So, or 30,000 starts, rather. So things are improving. There's so much here. On the derelict buildings that Michael has rightly pointed out about, Letterkenny has so much to do there. There's a vacant and derelict team there now, and it's a really, really good team. If you take the centre of Letterkenny, from the bus station to the bottom of the town to the high road, there's over 50 derelict or empty buildings that could, and think of what could be happened.
Can I make a suggestion? You see, yeah. This is what probably the listeners want to do, would want to hear. It's a fantastic scheme, right? The derelict property scheme. But if you've got a townhouse in Letterkenny, if you could provide 3 units of accommodation, why can you only draw that grant down once? You know, if we're serious about rejuvenating and bringing accommodation back into urban areas, if there's a building that could deliver 3 units of accommodation, allow them to access the grant 3 times.
Yeah, well, why not? That's right, Greg. Okay. You know, but
just a suggestion.
I have absolutely no problem with that. But the thing about
Ireland for free housing. So when is this going to stop?
Is your name Greg?
This is a debate. I'm a representative of people.
No, this is not.
Why is your government putting out tweets for? And eight different languages to come to Ireland and get the free housing.
Vincent,
this has to stop.
You've made that point.
There's no government putting out any such tweets. But can we go back?
There was information.
Can we go back to the?
There was information.
Can we go back to where we were?
Just one
Greg.
Second to clarify that. There was information given out in multiple languages by Roderick O'Gorman's department. Informing people as to the services that are available. Now, whether they were actively sent out to other countries or not, and I know these platforms are global, but it was to provide information for people living here as to how the access to services are arriving here, is what keeps referencing.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
I'm not saying
people are dying on the streets. You don't seem to have a problem with that.
Vincent.
And every day, people are dying on the streets and we can't get housing. Can I get back to where I was, Greg, about people dying on the streets?
We were talking about the dereliction, OK? The derelict buildings, that's 70,000 grand and that 50,000 grand. One of the problems that I'm seeing with it from talking to people is that they can't draw it down immediately. Obviously, they have to do the work first, and that poses a problem for people. But The vacant houses team have done a great job here. They've went around the county, they've run workshops. We have the highest number of applications for that grant in the country.
Yeah.
And it's thanks to them.
Okay.
But
on
the 70,000 and 50,000 grant, Greg, I would propose that we talk to the credit unions, and the council are talking to credit unions.
Well,
credit
unions are actually providing a bridging loan on that, but it's on a case-by-case
absolutely.
Basis.
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. So I think we can really transform our town centre with that grant.
Ulick and Donal still to come in. I just want to go back briefly, if you don't mind, to Thomas Sean Devine. Wanting to just come back in there, Thomas Sean.
Greg, I'll be as brief as I can here, but it's just a couple of points I want to go back to in the housing. You know, it's a number of years back, Councillor Michael McBride was the first to bring up about modular homes. Now, the council has derelict sites here in Letterkenny where you could house multiple modular homes. It was actually shot down by the council for modular homes. Now, 2 years ago, a proposal was put from Minister Darrell O'Brien, the Donegal County Council. They put a proposal on his table about modular homes. That still hasn't happened. As things get, the council needs to buck up on.
So you're saying, if elected, you would have made sure at every meeting that the council considered modular home proposals. I thought there needs to be more meetings about this crisis. They did agree, but it was the government that ruled out the provision of mobile modular homes.
There was a proposal put from Dara Bryan. They put a proposal on his table. It hasn't happened. That was on the 4th of December 2 years ago.
Do you have a response to that, Jerry McMonagall, specifically? No. Just
council in full support of modular homes for defective.
But did they submit a plan?
Yeah.
I was almost sure I saw that. I'm not contradicting you.
Look, I brought in motions myself, as did other councillors around that there, and it was sent on the government.
All right, but as it may.
Yeah, and Dara O'Brien has chosen that they do modular homes for people.
But be that as it may, Thomas Sean, you're still saying, right, regardless of passing the book around the place, the space is
there. I'm just going to get into a couple of points here, Greg. A number of months ago, another proposal has come from Michael McBride that no confidence in Dara O'Brien. It was passed with all the councillors, bar Jerry and Michael, that they had confidence in him. The following month, then, they started this housing group themselves in the council. They have a monthly meeting about housing when they admitted that there was a housing crisis then. This is the things that I'm trying to say, Greg, that is not acceptable anymore. This has to change. There has to be... Wexford Council not overspend their budget every year by 50 million. Donegal don't. They hand back money. This money could be overspent. They put in modular homes. They put in... Fix these houses up that is lying derelict and get people on them ASAP.
All right, I'll come to you, Ulick, but just seeing as this is just for the sitting council at the moment, Donald Mandy-Kelly, an often acclaimed level at the council that we're either not applying for funding revenue or that if we do, we're sending some of it back. You know, I mean, is the council and the hard-working council staff, I am sure, doing enough actually to maximise the money coming into this county to be spent?
Yeah, well, I suppose, listen, Greg, we're having monthly meetings now on the housing, which is very, very progressive. And you know, we have seen traction since we started these monthly meetings.
Are part of those monthly meetings the provision of modular homes for people affected by defective concrete?
Yeah. And listen, we're all in support of modular homes. And Councillor McMonagall's right. You know, this was turned down at a government level and it shouldn't have been. But we're lobbying for modular homes and it's fallen on deaf ears. It's something we'll continue to lobby on.
So from these monthly meetings, there have been new representations made to the housing minister saying, by the way, we've just had another monthly meeting and we need more modular housing, or we need modular housing now. That's actually coming from these monthly meetings.
Well, that's coming from us as certain county councillors, Greg, okay. And we're only got county councillors carrying through that, which I'm sure they are. But it's certainly coming from us as local certain county councillors. And Greg, I just want to go back as well to the Mica, and the Mica is a disaster. And I've always been behind the people, 100%, and will continue to be behind them. I have a brother-in-law that has his house demolished with three young weans. I have a family member going through the process, and I have friends going through the process. That's something that never should have happened. Mm. But unfortunately, it did. And I do believe it
was... Just on that point, then, do you believe that this scheme needs to be revisited?
Without a doubt, Greg.
I don't think it's a good scheme?
Well, listen, the scheme's there, the scheme's working, but it's working for some people, and there's other people falling short. That needs to be re-looked at. There needs improvements, there's no doubt in my mind.
Listen, we'll bring you back in. Is there a specific point Donnelly wanted to make there?
No, well, I just want to say, Greg, that my phone's always on, my door's always open. I'll support and help anyone, and I would urge people that is going through the Mica to reach out and contact me. I know there has been delays in payments there, and in some cases I have got these delays moving and payments paid out, but the scheme is in place, it needs improvements.
Okay.
But I also feel Greg, and I think it's very important that, you know, the providers, the block providers, the banks and the insurance companies should have been held accountable here as well, and they haven't been. And, you know, that's very unfair. We've seen the same thing in the boom and the Celtic Tiger and things went bust. Mm-hmm. The banks walked away. Okay. They're walking away now again, and I think that's unfair, and it shouldn't be the case.
Ulick, I really appreciate your patience. Ulick Hughes standing for Sinn Féin. Sorry to come to you last, Ulick. Go ahead.
No bother, Greg. The way I see housing, especially for young people, so for one, it's forcing us into emigrating. I'll just touch on a few points, but they'll all tie into housing. So the housing crisis, it's a major factor driving us to emigrate. Building more houses, it'll increase housing supply. It'll lower the costs due to supply and demand. More affordable housing will mean more money in people's pockets at the end of every month. It'll create more jobs in our construction sector. We have the ATU here in the town. It's pumping out fine engineers. And it'll make our area more attractive to companies, as housing availability is a key consideration when choosing new locations. We have a fully costed plan. It's in our manifesto. We'll deliver tens of thousands of houses over the next 5 years.
Are you planning to deliver?
I just said tens of thousands.
Tens of thousands.
Tens of thousands.
20,000, 30,000.
Tens of thousands. You can read the plan in our manifesto.
Right. The government, there was a government document buried where the government says that they need 56,000.
But he's standing for Sinn Féin.
Look, sir, you seem to give off the distinct impression of someone who has never ventured beyond their own echo chamber.
Oh, you seem to be reading out.
Well, do you know what? I'm well prepared for you.
Well, Vincent, in fairness, you're referencing notes on your phone constantly.
The people's had enough, and we're still going round and round.
Okay, Ulrich has not to say though. Continue, please, Ulrich.
No, Greg. I'm good with that. We have a plan there. It's in our manifesto.
So you believe, hand on heart, as a young person, that under a Sinn Féin government, that there is a future for you in terms of home ownership.
Yes, Greg, without a doubt. Otherwise, I wouldn't be sitting here today.
Okay. Dr. Anne McCluskey, a few people texting in, just given given your framing of the defective concrete box crisis, they are asking, are you fully in favour of a full remediation at the expense of the taxpayer?
Well, without a doubt, there is absolutely no doubt that if people build houses in good faith and the regulatory body has allowed defective blocks to be used, then they should have full redress from foundations to the chimney of that house. And I'm unequivocal about that. And I think the problem is a lot of the people are being fed myths that the government is going to be able to do this. And the other thing that I've heard in the doors that is required, and it makes perfect sense, is we need a team of people, architects, engineers, civil engineers, builders and people like that, who can go out, lawyers, who can go out and help people to navigate their way through this scheme. It's desperately difficult for people who are working and rearing families to negotiate the what I am told is an extremely complicated process. So yeah, without a doubt, this needs to be fixed. The theoretical causes of it are really of not relevance
but
to the
still
people who have
a fixture. Okay.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
Thomas Devine, you wanted to come back in there.
That document there, though, and for people that's viewing online, the people's document, that was designed to cover end-to-end schemely. That's what we need to hear today there, though. That was perfectly set out with the four main focus groups.
Jerry McMonagall, your party didn't fully sign up to that. Do you regret that?
Yeah, no, not in total. But look, what we have signed up to is a 100% redress scheme.
For the first private house.
And if they own one hour party, we will get in there and address the
why not just sign up to it now, though, if you're committed to it?
Well, I mean, it'd be easy to say yes, Greg, to that there without looking into the detail of it, because there's going to be a lot of money in this here. And we have, like, as we know, hedge funds have taken over our housing in this country, and a lot of the houses they own. So they're people who have billions of euros at their disposal. And why should we be giving them ins? You know, so we need to, first of all, deal with those who are living in houses which are crumbling down around them. And we make no apology for that, by the way, and get them sorted out, get their houses demolished, get them rebuilt and get them back into a home again. So we do, you know, we support 100% region. We also support the fact that, you know, government should come in and have an end-to-end scheme. The house owners should not be left to look about builders, get quotes, look for alternative accommodation. That should be provided.
Okay.
And that's where the modular homes would come in, that would speed that there up.
All right, I'm going to bring Michael McLaughlin in, but do you want to come straight back at that?
Just a quick point. Like, that's grand. I'm just going to give you a quick example, Greg. The night after the meeting down in Inishowen Gateway, I was stopped with an elderly couple in the shop here in Letterkenny, whose principal home is crumbling, and they own a semi-detached homes that they bought for their son and daughter, which is also crumbling. Now, under all these plans with the government, and hopefully we have a new government which probably consists of Sinn Féin in the next election, what they asked me was, because their three homes is crumbling, the principal one and the semi-detached one, which one do they knock down in the semi-detached house that they're only going to get fixed by one rental? Now, we all seen the house in Moncrana that was knocked down, the semi-detached house, and the world laughed at it, you know what I mean? So how's this going to be fixed? And the new government's solution and the way it is now at the moment. What's house do they knock down?
Michael, thanks for being patient. Michael McLaughlin of the Labour Party.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Greg. And I just wanted to come in on that to say that, and Thomas Shan knows this as well, that we in the Labour Party fully support the People's Document. And I've had Lisa Hone and Michael Doherty up for a meeting with the policymakers in the Labour Party, and we're looking at how we can help to get that going. And we're also absolutely 100% behind the notion of having a board like
the
Leinster.
Fully behind the People's Document, which includes commercial premises, agricultural buildings,
absolutely,
holiday homes.
We are.
Investment properties.
We are. We've got a housing crisis. We've already established that we don't have enough housing stock. So how then can we say that we're not going to fix the housing stock that's already there? You know, and we looked at it.
That could be a tough sell down the country, could it, for your voters?
Probably bring in water charges again, Greg.
Do you, you reckon, Jerry, are we going to get into that, that notion, are you? Because I thought we were doing all right here, but you know,
there's no,
I'll take him on, Shirley. There's no mention of bringing in water charges.
How are you going to pay for it?
Well, here's, I'm glad you brought up cost.
$15 million that's going to NGOs to indoctrinate people.
Well, I'll leave you with that one for the moment, because we're talking about housing, but we'll come back to that in a minute if you like. But looking at the cost of this, a cost-effective way of doing this is actually having a board coming in to do it rather than having individuals trying
but
to do
I
it.
But I think it's actually quite an interesting comment from you, Jerry McMonagall, because it's often, you know, in relation to the original schemes, how are you going to fund it? Quite an interesting intervention from you there. How are you going to fund the repair of every property?
Yeah, and that's why we said that we're going to deal primarily and firstly with the private residential and another building.
But Jerry, what are you going to do with the people who are renting from these?
Because, look...
Where are you going to put them? How are you going to deal with them? Are the landlords going to build it?
This is what we're saying. If we're in government, we'll put an end-to-end scheme in place and we'll ensure that they will
have... If a landlord has house number 3-4 and they can't afford to build it or fix it or repair it, what are you going to do with the person who's renting that house that it's been their home for 30 or 40 years? How's that going to work out?
Well, as you like referred to our plan for the build more social and affordable homes...
But we already don't have enough. How are you going to... You're going to put two people in the one home.
Michael, please. Ask me a question, let me finish. As you like referred to, we're committed to building tens of thousands of more social and affordable homes. Of course, then, there will be homes for people to go into.
The government's going to build...
No, Michael, what you're going to do, you've signed off, carte blanche, and you haven't even costed it. You haven't looked at it. We have a costed plan for delivering social affordable homes.
So have we.
Go on.
Ivana Batchik was the first...
www.sinfein.ie.
Check out labour.ie too. Ivana Batchik was the first person to go in.
Or islandradio.com, just whilst we're all plugging something.
Can I finish that for a moment, please, Greg?
Michael's talking as if he was...
Respectfully, Jerry.
Labour was never in government.
Respectfully, Jerry. Ivana Batchik was the first person in opposition to talk about building 50,000 homes a year, and everybody laughed her out of the dial. I see you snigger again, but that's Grant Snigger away. So then, now we hear the government talking about building 250,000 homes within 5 years. Now, 5 times 50 is 250,000. So while she was laughed out of the dial last year, it's now the policy. You're talking about tens of thousands. That tens of thousands gets up to 50. There you go.
Okay, Vincent, Kevin Bradley.
Thanks, Greg.
No relation?
No relation. You put me off the bus here now. I don't want to be related to him, to tell you the truth. Greg, we're just chatting about the defective blocks. Like, at the end of the day, if you went into a restaurant and you got a bad meal, you refused to pay for it. If you'd got a bad packet of buns, you'd bring it back, you'd get refunded, and that's just the way they call a spade a spade. And the people deserves 100% redress of things back to the very what should be taken down and back. And the likes of Prairie House in Dublin, they were all brought up and their buildings fixed up and sorted out. Because we're here in Donegal, the people's forgot about. I don't think it's good enough, and I think the government has failed us in this one.
Donald Wanda Kelly, do you believe the government has failed Donegal?
In what way, Greg?
The way, just in terms of, you know, we had to address the pyrite issue, there was a very good scheme in there, left no one out of pocket. Here we have a scheme that even on a 1,200 square foot house, people are experiencing 50, 60,000 euro shortfalls. That's modest enough. Do you know what I mean? It is a scheme you say is working for some. I've really yet to bump into them that haven't got access to cash themselves.
Yeah, well, listen, Greg, and I've stated it already. This scheme needs improvements, and I've always said that, and I've always lobbied for it, and I'll continue to lobby for that. The people do deserve 100% redress, and there's no doubt in my mind. And Greg, back to what you've stated there in homes, there is homes been fixed for the scheme. I know three people that has had their homes demolished. One of them it cost them an extra 300 euros. The other two the scheme did cover. But I also know homes that has cost in excess of 40 and 60,000 to demolish and rebuild their homes. And that's not on. It's not fair. That has to be improved.
What's your experience of the scheme, Jimmy Kavanagh, in speaking to people? I mean, obviously... we have Donald Mandy Kelly there, who says he's of three people he knows, was 300 euro short, and the rest the scheme covered it. Is that your lived experience?
I've had this from people as well, Greg. Now I will say that the two things that I'm getting about, Mike, are the testing of the foundations and the shortfall and money wise. But I have met several people now that have had their houses done. In fact, I arrived at a house last Friday night. and there was a lady there just moving back in after having her house done, and she was absolutely over the moon and delighted with everything and delighted with the scheme. And I've met people who have had, you know, partial jobs done that are very, very happy with it, delighted to be back.
Okay, and just before the break.
And they feel as well that they've a house now that's of higher value than the one they had.
It is
working for people. There is problems. Donald Mandy is right. It needs further improvement.
I get you.
But I think we should be working within the scheme that we had to get those improvements.
So, Thomas Sean Devine, you know, I'd heard this off air quite a bit, but hearing it on air really for one of the first times that people are saying, this is a good scheme. There's a lot of people going through the scheme and they're not having to dig too deep into their own pockets. Is that your experience?
Donald, I haven't come across one yet, and I've been involved in this campaign a number of years now, in fairness. That's not to say it's not happening. I haven't met these people, but I haven't even heard it. Now, I know people is getting their house practically rebuilt without the phones, which is flawed on its own. And we have their engineers there recently telling us that these remedial works, it's not, but they can't say enough. Yeah. Now, what we have in the last week is a load of people who has been down for demolish, getting it downgraded to stage three in that partial rebuilds now with these engineers. And other, Greg, I would love to take you and Freddie. I'm going to meet two families in Freddie who live in semi-detached houses. Both were down for demolish. Now they've been down, one of them has been downgraded for partial demolish, and the neighbour is down for demolish. Where's the sense to this?
Semi-detached.
Okay. Now, but I mean, I haven't yet come across somebody that has fixed their home that has even been out 300 euro. The least that I've been is in the 30s and 40 thousands.
Are you surprised to hear that, Donald Mandy?
No, I'm not surprised, Greg, because listen, I suppose if I call a spade, and I'm a person that likes to call a spade, there's a lot of scaremonger and speculation going on out there, you know, and I'm getting at the doors as
we
go around.
Who's peddling it?
Well, I'm not going to say who's peddling, Greg. Social media has a long bearing on politics.
You're on about in relation to defective concrete.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And, you know, as I said, I know houses, and I do know a lot more houses. I've only mentioned three. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more than that there that is well outside of the scheme, and that needs to be re-looked at. And that's something that I'm eager, as a Sutton County Councillor, should I be re-elected on June 7th to continue to work on. Because, Greg, I have, and I believe that I have, worked hard and worked tirelessly for the people for the last 3.5 years, no matter what the issue, and including defective concrete blocks. And I will continue to do
okay,
that going forward.
OK, we have to head to a break, but two people indicating so far to come in. Jimmy Kavanagh first. You want to come back in there?
Right. Yeah, just on the cap and Deputy Joe McHugh had a motion down last week to the Dáil about that review that's coming up next month, and there's an opportunity there of maybe getting that increased by up to 10%, which would add 42,000 to the cap. Mm-hmm. So that might go some way to addressing that shortfall. Other thing, Greg, if I can just make a quick point, one of the things that I'm coming and getting from people is very simple things, that people have great difficulty with the phone, you know, you can ring in on a Tuesday and Thursday and this sort of thing. Simple things to get, I think we need to address.
More because support.
People, that's tremendously frustrating for people that they can't get through because they're working and so on. So I think we can improve things to get, because when I've done it for people and got the information for them, they're delighted to get it. Even if they're back in the queue, they're delighted to hear where they are and delighted to know that something's happening.
Councillor McMonagle, finally, just before...
The concerns now is, well, it gets handed over to the housing agency and they're coming in, and despite what the science is saying and their engineer's recommendation for demolition, that the housing agency is increasingly downgrading that there. And a lot of that there is because they're coming out and doing a visual inspection, but because the house owner has took pride in their house and tried to delay the deterioration of their house by filling the cracks and all of that there. I mean, that's scandalous. I mean, we should be looking at the science here all the time.
Is that
recommendation of professionals?
Is the visual inspection not the precursor to an engineer coming out and doing a proper inspection?
Yeah, that's what it should be. But if you fill your cracks and paint your house, Greg, that puts you
back. Now it's overturned, Greg, and you're going on a visual inspection of someone who's looked after their home. And look, the other thing is, and I agree with Jimmy and what he said there, we need to get more people in to deal with people's inquiries, because that there is causing a bit of concern.
Vincent
out there.
Bradley, you wanted to come back in there?
Yes, we have people down the road there in hospital trolleys 5, 10, 12 hours.
Do you want to go on to health, or is this about housing? Because I come back to health.
Yeah, we need to go to health, because that's everybody's going to get sick, unfortunately. And we don't want to be lying in trolleys for hours
right,
and hours.
Well, listen,
and
we
hours,
have to take
so
a break anyway.
But that's reality.
We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Stay where you are. Okay, so the weather forecast, a mix of cloud and good sunny spells today, mostly dry apart from a few showers, highest temperatures of 14 to 17 degrees with moderate south to southwest breezes. I know we says we talk about health, but an awful lot of messages coming in here to fore have been about sort of the safety and security around Letterkenny, policing the parks and all that kind of stuff. We'll try and squeeze in on both, but just given the weight of the commentary, if that's okay, maybe we could talk about that, because the people in and around Letterkenny, from the texts we're receiving, feel that it's just not as safe anymore. There's not enough guards or CCTV. So, Kevin Bradley, I'll start with you. Is that something that's come up on the doorsteps with you? What's your view?
Well, views of that. Every one of us is calling for security on, a separate security. There are security on, but there's not enough security. There are not enough cameras in the areas. We look at some of them parks, the amount of carry on that's going on. They're not even enough guards. You're told it's a guards issue when you go on with it. But every councillor here has brought that motion in, looking for cameras, looking for security.
Do people feel less safe in Letterkenny, Kevin?
People feel less safe in Letterkenny, full stop. Aye. Different town.
Don't mind the Kelly, your experience of that, if any?
Yeah, Greg, yeah. I recently, as recent as I think it was last month's meeting, had a motion forward. As did Councillor Kavanagh before, calling for extra park wardens. It's an ongoing issue. I was made aware back before last month's meeting and an incident that happened at Ballymacool Park where a roll of toilet roll was actually set on fire, you know, and only a member of the public was there to put it out. You know, this antisocial behaviour is not on, and we need more resources. Now, we do have what's called a town forum meeting where Gardaí Síochána is present, as well as the Chamber of Commerce and other people from the public. And, you know, this is something that we're working on. We're trying to improve. I'm aware that the Garda resources, we just don't have the resources we need at the minute. Here in Letterkenny, and that's something to be worked on. But certainly, park wardens is a must in our parks, because there's no doubt about it. We have fantastic parks here in Letterkenny, and it's important that the people get the full use of them.
But I spoke to people that literally have stopped using them because approaches and decent exposure.
I don't disagree with that, Greg, and I have got phone calls of the same nature as well, and that's something that shouldn't be happening. People shouldn't feel that way, and it's important going forward that we do introduce more park wardens, that we try to improve our Garda services as well, with more employment there in that sector as well, and try to improve this going forward. And that's something that we're eager to try to do, and me personally.
Michael McLaughlin.
Thanks, Greg. It's not something that I've actually heard on the door, but something that anecdotally I'm certainly aware of. And in our manifesto, we've called for increased rural CCTV and increased rural Garda and community wardens and wardens in parks is a big thing. So absolutely something I'd be 100% in favour of and think needs to happen.
Yeah, we'll meet back in the middle just to mix up the contributions. Dr. Anne McCluskey, people feeling safe, secure in the streets of Letterkenny or in and around, not just the parks, wherever. Has that come up for you?
Not in the doors, I have to say. First of all, the last thing I would want to live in is a police state with surveillance and guards in every state watching all that what we're doing. Absolutely opposed to that intrusion into our lives and our privacy. What we have here is a cultural problem. What we have here is a crowd of young people, and older people, first of all, who are unhinged who are separated from the values that have imbued the behaviour of our nation. This is a new thing, and it's a huge issue, but it's not going to be solved by more CCTV and more boots on the street.
What's the solution? I'm not asking.
It's hugely complicated. The other thing is, I think it's important that we get on to health, which is the single most important issue facing this at the moment.
Vincent?
As the only doctor in the panel, I really feel that we need to talk about the excess deaths. We need to talk about the harms of the COVID shot. We need to talk about the fact that every person, every man, woman and child in this country knows someone who's been harmed by the policies of their government. This is a fundamental issue, and the people, you know, we can talk about, you know, the issues. These are the issues that are going to affect our people going forward. And we don't have a health service which, first of all, even acknowledges the problem. We don't have a government which acknowledges the problem. Patrick Walsh of Substack, I direct your listeners.
In terms of them adjusting the cohorts vaccines are being offered to, is that not an acceptance of the risk reward?
Since February 2022, we have had excess deaths in every month until the present, and nobody wants to talk about it. That is a direct result.
But I hear it being talked about all the time, Anne. When you say no,
at government level, what we have a no blame COVID inquiry. 20 years before these mRNA shots were inflicted and imposed by people in this room and their parties on an unsuspecting population, it was known. The harms of these things. It was known they were going to kill and maim people, and that has happened.
Okay. Yes, Vincent, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
On my canvas, people are telling me that it's actually got the jag, that they haven't been well from side effects. And it's the elephant in the room. AstraZeneca now admitted their side effects was to do with clotting, the clot shot. The government forced it on the people, a jag that was never experienced.
They didn't actually admit that, though. No, they didn't. They published information that showed that there was risk of it, but they pulled it.
Why was this jag used on
people?
They didn't use it on the animals because all the animals died. So they used it on the human person. Because your government, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, the Labour's, Sinn Féin, the whole audience pushed it.
Independence.
And you can smile, but don't be smiling about the people that's actually died.
Michael McLaughlin.
There are people dead today.
I'm compelled that I have to come back in here as a COVID survivor. And I'm somebody who had an extraordinary COVID infection. And I compliment the people. The care that I got in Letterkenny University Hospital, I'll finish, was extraordinary. And when I got COVID the first time around, I was admitted to Letterkenny University Hospital with double COVID pneumonia, double pneumothorax and a full cytokine storm. I survived. With difficulty. The first time I got the vaccine, I got COVID again, and I didn't have any of the issues that I had the first time around. And I think that has to be acknowledged in this space.
Of course, I get that. But it's going to be really difficult if we're actually trying to get into the COVID vaccine debate just for the local electoral elections.
But I want to bring all this in very quickly. Was no excess mortality anywhere in 2020. In fact, Ireland had a lower case of deaths. There's 3,000 people dying every year extra in this country.
That message will resonate
mothers,
with some
people fathers,
listening.
Grandmothers and children.
Jimmy Kavanagh.
Thanks, Greg. Park wardens, Councillor Kelly was saying there about that we need more park wardens. We have no park wardens at the moment. And this is something I've been shouting for a long time. The calls I'm getting in relation to that are mainly, funny enough, about dogs running loose. But I do take it on board that there was incidents as well. We need more community garda, and we need more facilities for young people. We have a huge drug issue in the town that we need to tackle.
Well, we
need
never
to
really used on, the community garda, though, did we? I mean, we need to actually get community garda and actually deploy them as community garda. Or even garda reserve, sorry, is really what I'm referencing.
Yeah, but we need them there. We need people on the street, and we need people patrolling the street.
Okay.
On the COVID one, just to support what Michael's just after saying, my wife's brother spent 30 days on a ventilator and was very, very lucky to survive. And I would love if they would tell him what was wrong with him if it wasn't COVID.
Right, OK. Thomas Sean Devine.
Aye, Greg, definitely I would support park wardens and extra Gardaí if people need to feel safe and protected. Like, I haven't come across it on the doors now. I mean, I should basically remember cameras on the doors. People's just talking about the effect of blocks.
Go on, Ulick, you haven't put your hand up once. Come on. Help me out here.
No, Greg, 100%. We need more funding on our Gardaí. The level of anti-social behaviour. I have actually got it on
would
the doors.
Would you become a guard?
I don't.
I know it's a bit random, but would you?
It's a bit random.
Because I just wonder if part of the problem is that would it be. Like, I know my boys. I wouldn't. I don't know if I'd encourage them to become a guard.
No, definitely. I think I wouldn't. Engine.
What's going on?
Engineering's my call. That's my area of.
So you would endorse the calls for more guarding?
100%. Our Gardaí are seriously under pressure. We just need more.
All right, Anne, 30 seconds. Why should people vote for you, Anne McCloskey, Dr. Anne McCloskey, the Irish People's Party?
Greg, just on the park wardens, just because I had a couple of motions in myself. I raised it regularly We've talked about it at the joint policing committees and how we could address that there and help it.
Fund it, really. Yeah. You talk about funding.
Yeah, and it is all about funding. And we have had, through motions that I'd brought in, further CCTV put in place because it was needed. And we need to protect the people who use our parks, because there has been some serious incidents which have been reported to me, and which I've had, went to the Gardaí, and there is the problem is Garda resources.
We heard on Friday from into a very distressing approach.
And we haven't got enough guards in Donegal. And just what you said about asking Ulick about joining the guard, the reason why people today, our young people today, are having to think twice about joining the Gardaí is because of pay and conditions.
Yeah, no, that's
they're
that
not
was,
what they used
was,
to be, yeah, and they're far from it, and they can't live on the wages they're given. So the government needs to be investing in our Gardaí and in our people as well.
Okay, as succinctly as possible because of the time. Anyone who wishes to, Anne McCluskey, why should people vote for you? And it's 30 seconds if you can.
I'm asking the people of Letterkenny to give me their vote. I'm politically experienced. I joined Sinn Féin in 1975 as a university student, and since then I've been politically active in community politics for most of my adult life, very much involved in community and development groups in my hometown of Derry. I can deliver the same for Letterkenny. The other thing is, I'm a doctor. I've stood up against the lies that were told by the supranational bodies and promulgated by our own government around the whole COVID narrative, around the climate narrative. Again, in a second, download the app Inconvenient Facts and look at the fact, the carbon dioxide and no farmers, no food. Our farming industry has been deliberately decimated on the basis of a windmill, tilting at windmills. There is no climate crisis.
We're just going to have to move around. Yeah. I'm sorry. Vincent, why should people vote for you in Milford and Letterkenny?
Yeah, we're just actually sitting in here now. It's a bit like the film Groundhog Day. 5 years later, we come across the same spiel again. All parties are talking the same, both sides out of their mouth, the same problems, the same nonsense, and still not do nothing, or it will continue to do nothing. So we have to, the people are still not being listened to in this country, especially this county. We have our elderly people looking for a bit of home help service, they can't get it. Our carers are flat out working, going through all the mental anguish because they can't get respite services. Nobody cares. And these politicians on here and this government of occupation has to go.
Okay.
And if we think that Sinn Féin are going to be their answer, God help us.
All right, Jimmy Cavanagh.
Thanks, Craig. Listen, I'm committed to this community. I've been there for 15 years. I have lots of experience. Much of the last 5 years has been spent on a new Letterkenny area plan, on a new county development plan, on a new regeneration plan. And I want to get back there to see those implemented now. And if re-elected, I'll work with whoever else is re-elected from whatever party or from independent or whatever, and I'll work with them for the good of this town, and I'll leave politics aside and I'll work for the good of the county.
You're announcing you're leaving politics there for a second until you set aside. Thomas Sean Devine.
You've done that for the last 10 years, Greg.
No. Yeah. It's just the way the phraseology. Okay, I get you. Thomas Sean Devine.
I'm going to ask people to give me their number one vote for change on the 7th of June. We need a new party in there. We need new voices on Donegal County Council. And I'm asking the people in Letterkenny to give the 100% Redress Party their number one vote.
Ulick Hughes of Sinn Féin.
Yeah, I want to do everything in my power to make sure our young people aren't forced into emigrating. Sorry, I thought you were. And so if elected, that's my top priority.
All right, I'll go back the other way now just to split up the two of you. Kevin Bradley, independent, 30 seconds or less.
I'm asking the people at Letterkenny, a town and born and reared, passionate about it. I'd like to be re-elected and look for your number one vote, depending on your help going through. Should it be Letterkenny, Glenswally, Manor? I'm here to help, and if anybody wants my phone number's there, give me a call at any time. But we're just chatting with the regeneration Letterkenny. We even got the facilities there, the regeneration fund there for Manor Cunningham too, and that was through a team. We had a good working team there in the 5 years. The boys outside sitting looking in again, back to saying we've done nothing. There's a lot of good work done, had a very good team here.
And you've had an opportunity to state that over the couple of hours. Donald Mandy-Kelly, Fianna Fáil.
Thanks, Greg. Listen, Greg, I feel that I have worked tremendously hard over the last 3.5 years for all community groups, sporting organisations, each and every area within the municipal district and further afield. I come from a big family of nine. I'm a middle child, and I know what it's like to grow up on tough times. I know what hardship is, and an old hard worker. I'm a farmer as well, outside of politics, and it's something that's very close to my heart. I want to continue representing the people to the best of my ability. I feel I have done that to date, and I want to continue that. So I'd ask the people to come out on June 7th and give me whatever support they can.
Michael McLaughlin, why don't you give you a chance?
Greg, Michael McLaughlin from the Labour Party. It's a new voice. I'm a first-time candidate and a new party for Letterkenny, are new in a long time. And I want to, I'm a proud townie and passionate about the people of Letterkenny and all the people who live in here, looking at things through a lens of equality, justice and fairness. I'm passionate about local housing for everybody and to cherish all the children as to our constitution, cherish all the children born in Ireland.
Councillor Jerry McMonagall, finally to you.
Thanks, Greg. Look, I've been a councillor since 2004 and I've worked extremely hard for the people of the Letterkenny Municipal District and indeed Donegal. I'm looking to continue with that there good work. We have a lot of good, very good plans in the pipeline, which I'd like to see the fruition. But the one thing I'll just say here, I'm disappointed that we didn't touch on health today. The real health issues that we really have here in this town, and particularly if I just want to name two, the CDNTs, where there's a serious list of vacancies there for our children with disabilities.
Yep.
And indeed the diabetes situation at Letterkenny University Hospital.
For sure.
We should have got longer to talk and discuss about that today, because them's the things that I'm passionate about, as well as delivering on housing and new infrastructure for Letterkenny. And
well,
ask people
list,
give me the number one
your
vote.
Your list was delivery of real accessible 100% regional scheme, then regeneration of Letterkenny Town Centre, then delivery of long delayed Bonagie Link Road, then more affordable housing. And then we moved on to health matters there. So it's hard to get everything in.
Yeah,
and I tried, based on the order people put stuff in.
No, I accept that, but I'm just to say to the listeners out there who are probably expecting that the time is of, but they're very much on our thoughts. And I'd work very hard at if re-elected.
Listen, all of you, thank you very much indeed. I think we'd all encourage people, fair play to everyone, obviously, who is putting themselves forward, but we encourage everyone to get out and vote, because it gives you a better mandate than to complain or to praise what happens if you have your saying in it. We're back tomorrow. From 9 o'clock with debates. Our focus is on Carn Donnan. We have two sets of debates tomorrow, so please stay tuned for that, and also stay tuned for John Breslin coming up around the Northwest after this commercial break. Chat to you tomorrow morning from 9.